the Friday, April 27th edition. We'd like to welcome our newest member.
It's a long drive.
Senator Brown.
Oh, I hadn't heard.
Happy you're here.
Happy to be of service.
Well, I'm not so sure I'm excited you're here, but I'm really glad that scarf is here. I mean, that is beautiful.
Thank you.
Welcome, and sincerely.
Glad to you, I think, from, where were we, May? Shanghai? Took scarf?
Tibet.
No, it's Tibet. Not Tibet.
Anyway, all kidding aside, sincerely.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Shop,
you're here.
Top of Mount Everest.
Let's get the show on the road. Bills reported out of subcommittee. Commission for the Blind. Senator Duncan.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I bring before you from the Health and Human Services Committee House Bill 5003, and it's the budget for the Commission for the Blind. And this is a 7-person board that oversees the vocational rehabilitation agency that serves persons who are visually impaired or who are legally blind. It's supported with general fund, other funds from interagency agreements, industry program sales, and donation fund interest, and then, of course, federal funds that come through the Department of Education. And the federal funds require matching state funds. The committee's recommended budget is $11.9 million, and that's about $530,000 or 5% higher than the governor's budget. And while the committee identified additional other funds, revenue, that will enable the agency to match nearly all available federal funds, it encouraged the agency to identify or obtain an additional $34,074 of other funds to fulfill its entire matching requirement. The committee also requested the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule the $34,074 of other funds limitation, along with the federal matching funds of $125,898, until the agency can identify an other funds revenue source, which they have to work on, or they receive an appropriation or an allocation of general fund dollars. The committee made the usual reductions for the PERS, the Attorney General fee, Secretary of State, and DOS Human Resources Services Division assessments. In addition, it reduced limitation for long-distance telecommunication charges and out-of-state travel. The committee approved technical adjustments to the budget to better conform the mix of general fund, other funds, and federal funds within the automated budget system to the actual matching ratios experienced by the agency. The committee acknowledged the importance of the agency's older blind program, instructed the commission to request necessary expenditure limitation from the emergency board if the assembly provides additional revenue to enhance this program. Mr. Chair, Mr. Co-Chairs, members of the Ways and Means Committee, a lot of work has been done on this budget through the interim working with the Commission for the Blind. There was a lot of question about the appearance of impropriety, not that there was, but the appearance with handling of some of those agency funds and the way it was handled. But I think that the board has gotten very involved now. The commission has gotten very involved. DOS is working very closely with them. And I think all of us felt much, much better about what's happening with the Commission for the Blind. And so I encourage our Ways and Means Committee to support House Bill 5003.
Well, and I'd also like to thank and compliment you, Senator, for your work during the interim. We sat on the committee that did the oversight, and it was indeed a fairly convoluted trail of tears, and I don't think we would have gotten to the resolution without your leadership. So thank you very much.
It's always nice to hear nice words. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very, very kind.
Senator Trump.
Mr. Chair, I endorse those nice words, and I want to ask a hard question. Is it possible that they will be able to find the $34,000 other fund revenue? Because if they do, then they can get some more federal revenue, which makes a nice amount of money they need. But your budget narrative doesn't talk about the possibilities of that.
Well, Mr. Co-Chairs and Senator Trope, I have to admit that that is a bit of a concern. In fact, Representative Carlson and I sit at opposite ends of the committee, and we each smile, both of us having been involved a long time in state agencies, over, we sort of smiled at each other at that moment, thinking, well, wait a minute, how'd you go find $34,000? And we realize that that is a problem. We're hoping maybe something yet can happen before the session's over. It is a challenge for them, and I'd be very honest with you that...
So it's something that could happen by this body finding it rather than them finding
it
out there?
Well, I think it could happen. Mm-hmm. It could happen.
All right.
But it's, you know, as I said, we wanted to give them the opportunity to do so.
Okay, but if they do find that 34, then they can get another 100.
And they would have to come back to the e-board for the additional funding.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No far. Chair of our committee
still has a mystery, but we'll
add to that. But I think that's the best scenario we could work through at the present time.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Yee,
this issue was suggested by staff that Blind Commission can work with schools when they have need for this program. So when the schools, different schools, contribute money towards this, and we can get a 1-to-9 match funding back, and the school may be able to get more money back to support their program. So the staff suggested that this is one alternative we can go to.
Mm-hmm. And that's a bit of a wish, too, but we'll see, you know, if they have funds out there. So let's just hope that a lot of things can happen.
I think part of the point is that considering where they were and the difficulties they were having, the commission has come a tremendous distance in a short period of time. Compliments to the commission, their new director, whom I don't see here today. There's been a lot of progress made, and I don't think it's wishful thinking to be optimistic about that maybe something else can be done. But, I mean, time will tell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you're right. And by the way, I also think it's important that you acknowledge the work of the director, the new director, and the commission itself. And then a DAS representative, Mr. Fraser, I think is, you know, he has gone the extra mile too for them. So I really would want to compliment them.
I agree. Representative
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to echo that their new director, and they've also added another staff person who's also very skilled, and their board have really done a very, very good job. And I do think that there are some options, because they mentioned some of them in their presentation, the work with the school, and I believe that their attempt to be a lot more creative in looking at their revenue source, and they are to be commended for the work that they have done.
Any further discussion? Any further questions? Any objections to moving House Bill 5003 as amended to the floor with a due pass, the House floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 5024, Division of State Land, Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 5024 is the appropriation bill for the Division of State Lands. The Division is the administrative arm of the State Land Board, which has a responsibility for managing the assets of the Common School Fund. These assets include over 2 million acres of land deeded at statehood and trust for education. The division also manages the removal fill, unclaimed property, and wetlands programs, and operates the South Slough National Estuarine Research Reserve. The budget recommendation by the Natural Resource Subcommittee includes a total limited budget of $14.6 million and an unlimited total of $31.8 million. The limited budget includes $13 million other funds, $1.5 million federal funds, and $33,700 in general fund. The other funds are derived from the Common School Fund, which obtains revenue from constitutional and statutory revenue streams. The federal funds are received in support of the state's wetlands program and for the South Slough. A small amount of general fund is used to support the Natural Heritage Advisory Council activities. The recommended limited budget is 5.1% below the governor's recommendation and 9.0% above the 1999-01 estimated expenditures. The committee approved the continuation of two limited duration positions in the division's unclaimed property program and added one permanent position to accommodate increased unclaimed property workload and the effects of HB 2129. The committee also approved the addition of two other limited duration positions for waterway leasing development and rangeland management. Concerns over the budgetary management of the South Slough Reserve resulted in the subcommittee's recommendation of a one-year budget for that program. The division is to provide regular reports on the execution of the budget and return to the emergency board for limitation increases for the second year of the biennium. Reductions were made to the budget for state government service charge adjustments, PERS employer rate contribution decreases, and non-fixed services and supplies accounts as a response to statewide funding issues and priorities. The non-limited distribution for the Common School Fund for state school support was also reduced due to updated forecast information on the Common School Fund earnings. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 5024.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions? Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this Division of State Lands is that agency which does so much management. 2 million acres are the assets plus the unclaimed property, and it's an agency that does return significant revenue for the Common School Fund. The committee did a very thorough job, I thought, in explaining and discussing and considering the issues of the Division of State Lands. And I commend the chairman in providing a very thorough airing of some issues, including the questions about South Slough Reserve management that led the committee to consider the one-year withhold. Also, we had some discussion about an addition of some limited duration positions for rangeland management and for management of waterway leasing programs. And the committee did a very excellent job, I thought, of considering those issues. And again, I will commend the chair in bringing this budget forward. I have one concern that was aired at the committee meeting, and that is that this is also the organization responsible for adjudicating on a case-by-case basis the access issues that are attending the stream beds and banks of the state's waters. And the question of navigability is a pesky question that seems to have been with us since the creation of statehood. I keep reminding the agency that it has a responsibility to adjudicate these issues on a case-by-case basis. That is the legislative charge, and that is their responsibility. And if there's any turning away from the responsibility that the legislature has given this agency to adjudicate on a case-by-case basis the issues of navigability, I believe the agency has an obligation to come back to the legislature and discuss that issue with the legislature. Not additional authorities or different remedies in the judicial branch of government. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I share your perspective, Senator. Any further discussion? Representative Butler.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. It may be that Senator Ferrioli did discuss it, but I just noticed that in the distribution of the special payments on the non-limited to the Common School Trust Fund, Common School Fund, the distribution reduction at 12.4, and I follow that through from $71 million to $44 million, now down to $32 million. Is that a factor of the earnings in the Common Trust Fund?
I'll defer that question to our learned counsel, but I think it is, in fact, a matter of some of the earnings, some of the softening of lumber timber markets, as well as residuals that would be invested on behalf of the Common School Fund.
The Common School Fund was projected to earn $44 million. It only produced about 12 actual earnings. That, I believe the exact number was 11.7.
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, after some later information was gathered on the earnings of the Common School Fund, the distribution to schools has been reduced to about $31.2 million over the next two school years. And that was at a higher level in the governor's recommended budget because of the earlier information before the stock market went down.
Mr. Chair, so it is a factor of the stock market and the other factors of the assets held within the Common School Fund.
That's correct. Yes.
All right, thank you very much.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Troll.
There are a number of budget notes. I wonder if there are any that we should especially pay attention to.
Mr. Chairman, I think the most significant series considerations that attend to this budget really relate to performance requirements and performance benchmarks attending the management of the South Slough Reserve. And I think those are the issues of accountability, concerns that the appropriate care is being taken to manage the South Slough Reserve, watching the federal dollars, making sure that the appropriate expenditure categories result in dollars going to the right places. And I think that the consideration of the chairman to withhold some funds in the legislative emergency board is the right decision. It sends the right message. I think we clearly communicated to the new director of this agency that that those management benchmarks are something she will pay attention to. We have her assurance that that will happen.
Any further discussion? Any objection to moving House Bill 5024 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 5035, Public Employees Retirement System.
Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 5035 is the budget bill for the PERS, the Public Employee Retirement System. PERS budget is all other funds and consists of substantial non-limited portion, which are the payments of benefits and refunds to the plan beneficiaries. Expenditure limitation is provided from the administrative costs of the system. Governor's recommendation is a $3.7 billion, including $50.9 million of expenditure limitation for administrative costs. The request includes $9.2 million for the PERS Oregon Pension Administration System, or OPIS, project. That portion of the budget request was reviewed by the Advancing E-Government Subcommittee, Representative Hill Subcommittee, and its recommendations were adopted and made part of our recommendations in this budget. PERS recommended expenditure limitation was $39.5 million, or $11.4 million less than the governor's recommended budget. The largest adjustment was the request was based upon the Advancing E-Government Representative Hill Subcommittee recommendation to, number one, reduce the expenditure limitation of the OPIS project to $1, and number two, place it into a separate budget line item, and finally, to insert additional restrictive language to help ensure the PERS understands the legislative intent. We also provided a separate limitation for budget service, or for debt service, that is, and the administration of the deferred compensation plan in the bill. We made numerous adjustments to the budget for various known savings and provided additional limitation for AG costs and standby costs for pay using excess limitation from the telecommunications portion of the budget. Concerns over the nature and extent of the counseling services that the system provides gave us or caused us to eliminate five one-on-one counselor positions so that other staffing needs could be accommodated without the appreciable increase in the full-time equivalency. We also approved certain of the program option policy option packages while not approving others. Both subcommittees expressed concerns about PERS management, and we have included three budget notes that are intended to provide direction to the PERS and to give the legislature additional information about its staffing, management structure, and the administration of the state's deferred compensation program. And with those caveats, we and the budget notes which were included, we do recommend your subcommittee recommends the approval of House Bill 5035 as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions?
Representative Hanson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Butler, what's the impact of reducing the five individual counselor positions? How long would it take to get an appointment for an individual counseling session? What's the timeline? How's that going to affect the workings on the street?
There was information given to us that the five and there are other counselors. Some of these counselors may be used in other programs and to counsel on the deferred compensation programs and other programs. We encourage the use of video and teleconferencing as opposed to one-on-one or as Representative Johnson said, in my kitchen or at the dining room table with coffee, one-on-one counseling is something that we've got to be very cautious about because it goes outside of the scope. The question is, how many more days are we going to, is it going to take to get counseling? And if the system goes ahead and produces the videotapes and enhances teleconferencing for group sessions as opposed to one-on-one counseling, and adds frequently asked questions that from those conference sessions, we believe that the time limitation should be about what it is right now. I think there was some indication that right now one-on-one takes, I think there was one time testimony that it could be 126 days or something like that from the time that you schedule until the actual time that you actually receive some one-on-one. This should be accomplished fairly rapidly with video and teleconferencing.
Follow up, Chris.
Representative Hanson.
Was there any discussion in terms of emergency situations or special needs situations, of dramatic lifestyle situations that would require faster information in a few days?
We still have, I believe there's still 7 one-on-one counselors available as well as call-in conferencing available, so this isn't a complete elimination, and I believe some of these positions had been on temporary part-time or temporary positions, not full-time permanent positions.
Thank you.
Senator Clarno.
Thank you. I just want to thank the committee and obviously Dallas of LFO. The committee worked very hard on this budget. And the cuts that Representative Butler just mentioned were recommendations by the agency, and Representative Butler and Representative Hayden and Johnson and Senator we all wrestled with this. It was not easy, and I thank the committee for all their hard work.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Troll.
Just a question about what's going to happen with OPAS. I noticed that we're going to put into the bill a section that describes the process they must go through if they want additional funding for it and move forward with that program. I was on the subcommittee last time and we reviewed it, and it seemed to me like it was important to get the new computer system on board as soon as possible if it was done well and it would work well. And what is it that they need to do if they would get some more money to continue? I'm also wondering if not funding on this biennium puts them in difficulty with the contractors that they've been dealing with to implement the system. So where are we on that? Could somebody talk about it a little bit?
I think if done well is the key phrase you used there.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hill's committee did review that, and we are already in a breach of contract in part, so I think Representative Hill could probably refer to it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, the issue here is the plan that the Public Employees Retirement System developed is that the only way that you would be able to judge success is completion of the entire project, and the entire project is some $100 million project over 5 years. Our concern was the fact that they did not break the required components out into individual defined and deliverables, such that you talked about the RIM system, which is the component which calculates the retirement benefits, is the single component which is statutorily and necessary. However, that component was melded in with a whole bunch of other stuff that had that was not statutorily required. They were good ideas, and so And through a thorough review with the Department of Administrative Services, went in and reviewed, LFO went in and reviewed. There was a Secretary of State's audit earlier on about this very thing. It came to the conclusion that there was not confidence that the project would be successful, and that risking $100 million of retirees, you know, benefit dollars, to bet that 5 years from now that, one, it'll only be $100 million, and that, two, that it would be successful was not a prudent risk that we should undertake. The work that they've already done in terms of defining business rules is work that can go forward. What the intention of the committee is not to not give the money to PERS. The intention is for PERS to come back with a prudent plan that mitigates the risk and that focuses on short-term deliverables and delivering the key and critical components. And when they come back with that plan, I'm confident that we will increase the limitation to allow that project to go forward with a proper oversight. My concern, however, is that the current administration within the public employees retirement system does not get it, and I have very serious concerns of their ability to manage this project going forward. And so I would anticipate that that working with Department of Administrative Services, that until there is a change in attitude, that they'll be on a very short chain having to work with the Department of Administrative Services. It's a serious issue, and I think it's an issue that the governor needs to look at and work with the Public Employees Retirement System Board, because this is a huge investment that is at risk. And you know, save my concerns, as you mentioned, the concerns about the contractors. My concern is the fact that the Public Employees Retirement System was venturing down a path to do a sole source contract for a $100 million contract without competitive bid. You know, and they may argue with my assessment of that, but that is the result of the path that they were heading down, and I don't think that's prudent business practice.
Mr. Chair. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I feel compelled to amplify Senator Clarno's comments about the counselor issue, returning to that for just a moment. We really did wrestle with this, and I don't want to minimize how difficult a decision this was. Some of us were particularly concerned about the availability of walk-in counseling and the fact that in some cases that was quite beneficial to folks that lived in this geographic area, less beneficial to folks in rural and distant Oregon. We encouraged the agency to look at a number of ways to make appropriate counseling available. I have to say, with some disappointment, I didn't see a whole lot of interest in the presentation portion of the agency's time before the committee, where they evidenced a real willingness to enthusiastically embrace alternative counseling methods. And I hope that this committee can send a message to them that fully exploring all sorts of alternative ways to make necessary and needed counseling available, particularly in instances of lifestyle changes or disability, is terribly important. And this was a difficult decision. I would be hopeful that the agency would quickly undertake initiatives necessary to address the loss of those five counselors and make appropriate counseling available to PERS members.
Well said, Representative Johnson. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I probably shouldn't have characterized that as the difficulty that we're having as a breach of contract with regard to the OPAS system. It's a breach of where we were at, Senator Trowe, in the last session when we saw this budget. Because as Representative Hill has just alluded to, it goes well beyond the $25 to $30 million upper limits that we'd ever anticipated, and going clear to the $100 million limits, and it's well outside the scope of where we ever anticipated going, and it's a breach of where we were taking, where we had anticipated going in the last. I think that most of the contractors, and they have changed. Various contracts, most of the contractors have performed according to what they have indicated they were performing, mm-hmm. but this goes well beyond, and that's why we felt it was necessary to accept the recommendations of the government.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Trowe.
Just responded a session ago when we had a review of this. I think we were convinced that we really needed to put some new method online as quickly as possible. And of course, we want a good one and one that works. And if it's not going to work, why, obviously, or if it's not good, or it doesn't do more than we want or whatever, maybe it ought to be changed. But I think there's a real need, because I don't think the present way they're doing it is all that great. And I think they need to have a much more efficient system as soon as possible. That's my concern.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Hill.
To respond to Senator Trout, we would agree with you. And we think that this approach will drive to that conclusion prior and for less money and sooner than 5 years and $100 million.
Mr. Chairman,
sorry.
I'd like to take this opportunity to compliment the chair of Advancing E-Government. This is the first committee I come to that really hold the agency, hold their feet to the fire. You come in with a good plan that tell us exactly what function this computer would do, how much does it cost, and what kind of monitoring system do you have. Only by doing that, we can avoid problems like motor vehicle, computer system, or cascade problem. And I really compliment him for being firm. And I'm sure he'll get results, because for the past 3 or 4 months, they cannot agree with DOS that they need to carry out their basic functions before they do all the other good ideas first and cost $100 million. So by telling them you only have a dollar until you come in with a plan that convinces us that we'll do the job before you get the money. And they have to have approval from DAS Technology Division, from Legislative High Tech Division Committee, and then Emergency Board. So I applaud his principle and his making sure agency perform before we give the money. I think this is what all performance-based performance measures is all about. You show us your performance before you get funding so that we can put money in programs that will give us results before we waste taxpayers' dollars money on programs that don't work. So it's a pleasure to the committee. I serve on the Ways and Means Committee for 16 years now. This is the first committee that really hold their feet to the fire. No performance, no funding. That's the way it should go.
Representative Hill, consider yourself complimented, sir.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Any further discussion? Are there any objections to moving House Bill 5035 to the House floor with it as amended? House Bill 5035 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Let the record show Representative Hansen is a no. Any other objection?
I'll be a no.
I'll let the record show Senator Trout is a no. Seeing no other objections, House Bill 5035 is moved to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. House Bill 5042, Water Resources Department, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5042 is the budget bill for the Oregon Water Resources Department. The Department and Water Resources Commission sets water policy for the state, manages water resources, issues water rights, monitors stream flows, inspects dams, and works cooperatively with other groups to address Oregon's water supply needs. General fund supports roughly three-quarters of the department's budget. The remaining balance is primarily other funds consisting of fees and charges for services. Federal funds comprise less than 2% of the budget. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends a budget of $28,072,107.146.24 FTE. The budget contains $21,555,317 in general fund, $4,879,102,000 in other funds, $515,000 in federal funds, and $1,122,688 in non-limited funds. The budget is 4.9% below the governor's recommended budget. The general fund portion of this budget is 2.2% below the governor's recommended budget. The subcommittee recommended budget adjustments for lower PERS rates, lower hourly rates for attorney general charges, and lower rates for the Department of Administrative Services Human Resources Assessment. Program reductions were made in every division with the elimination of several support positions. In addition, a 2% reduction was made to agency services and supplies. Program packages were also cut back or eliminated. In summary, the subcommittee's reduction efforts trimmed the governor's recommended increase over the current service level from 7% to about 1.7% in total. Limited duration positions were continued for the Klamath Basin adjudication efforts. Limited duration positions were also given to upgrade the water supply and water rights data available to the public. The governor's budget cut two certificate positions from the base budget. These positions are important to continue the issuance of water rights and bring the backlog of applications current. The subcommittee has maintained these positions in the budget while recommending that another package in the governor's budget, the stewardship and supply package, be placed on the add-back list to offset the cost to the general fund. In summary, the subcommittee has recommended a budget with general fund amounts roughly 2.4% below the current service level without any increase in FTE. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends approval of House Bill 5042 as amended.
Any questions on Water Resources Department? Any discussion? Any objections to passing House Bill 5042 to the House floor with due pass recommendations? Seeing none? So ordered. Senate Bill 5505, Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5505 is the budget bill for the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. The board regulates chiropractic doctors, chiropractic assistants, and ancillary personnel through examination, licensing, and disciplinary programs. The board is supported by other funds from licenses, examinations, and other miscellaneous fees. The subcommittee approved a budget of $864,111 and 4.5 FTE. This is an 11.2% reduction from the governor's recommended budget, but a 7.5% increase over the 9901 estimated expenditures. The subcommittee included a budget note directing the board to study a birth date renewal system to stabilize cash flow and provide adequate ending balance. A second budget note was included to have the board report at a future emergency board meeting on the progress towards reducing a complaint backlog, specifically a sexual misconduct case backlog. The board is also to report on the resolution of differences between the agency and its constituent professional organizations. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval of the bill as amended.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Any questions regarding Board of Chiropractic Examiners? Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown.
Mr. Co-Chair, I'm just curious as to how extensive the backlog is.
Senator Brown, it is an extensive backlog. As I recall, there are 23 open cases at this point in time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Johnson.
Would staff like to elaborate on that anymore, or is that?
That's accurate, Mr.
Coates. Okay. Any further discussion? Any objection to moving Senate Bill 5505 to the Senate floor with a two-pass recommendation?
Mr. Co-Chair, I might just add that I'm doing this particularly with acknowledgement to Senator Clarno, that at the culmination of these hearings that were not without some controversy, it was suggested and the recommendation was well received to engage mediation services and dispute resolution services in trying to reconcile the differences between the constituent professional organizations. And I just wanted to let you know that when that recommendation was made, it was enthusiastically accepted by the parties, and I hope that they will go forward and seek mediation to resolve some pretty profound differences.
We will hold our vote. When I call for any questions or discussions prior to a vote, that's exactly what I'm doing. Representative Butler.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to amplify a portion of that which Representative Johnson has just commented on. I've already received a copy of a letter where the organizations are the constituent organizations within the chiropractic profession moving forward and requesting that they get mediation so that they can bring their groups together relative to making sure that standards and guidelines are maintained.
Once more with feeling, are there any objections to moving Senate Bill 5505 to the Senate floor as amended? Seeing none, so ordered. Other bills reported out of committee, House Bill 2168, Board of Chiropractic Examiners Fee Bill, Representative Johnson.
Mr. Co-Chair, this is a companion bill. House Bill 2168 modifies the fee structure for the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Sections 1, 2, and 3 of the bill were deleted, resulting in no fee increase for initial application or initial licensure. The fee for active license renewal proposed in the original bill was reduced from $375 to $300, a $50 increase from the current level. The fee for inactive license renewal was increased by $25. The last fee increase for the board was in 1991. Agency expenditures have been exceeding revenues for the last couple of biennia, resulting in declining ending balances. The budget for the Board of Chiropractic Examiners was approved based on revenue generated from the increased fees. Your Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 2168 as amended.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Miller. Or Senator Miller.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask, with respect to the fee increase, the usual situation, at least in committees I've been on, is that the relevant agency or board will suggest they need this fee increase and suggest that practitioners, of course, subscribe to the increase. Was there any contact with actual practitioners to see whether or not they indeed supported the idea?
Senator Miller, there was considerable contact with the actual practitioners. The original fee increase was projected at 50%. I think, at least my observation, and I believe this would be substantiated by my colleagues on the committee, was that it was not so much the amount of the fee increase that was controversial or problematic, but it was rather the lack of common vision of the constituent groups that caused controversy around the fee. Composition of the board was problematic, and composition of subcommittees working on practice guidelines was controversial. So while the actual practitioners, I don't think, objected to the fee increase in terms of its totality, what they objected to was the appearance or the reality of one practice philosophy having dominance over another practice philosophy. And I think that the fees became a point of leverage to try to bring two divergent points of view together. And I have subsequently talked to members of the two divergent groups. They seem satisfied with this outcome, particularly satisfied with the possibility that mediation can be employed to resolve their professional differences.
Thank you. Senator Trump.
As you look at the revenue the fee provides, do you have satisfaction that this revenue will be enough to allow them to take care of the problems before the agency, such as the backlog and things like that? Will they have sufficient revenues to do that?
Senator Trow, that was discussed extensively in the committee, and the answer to your question is yes.
Good.
We also increased their travel budget, which will allow for the use of more peer review committees, recognizing that they may have to travel to do reviews of case issues, and I'm confident that it will cover it.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Co-Chair,
Representative Winters.
How much did you discuss what the reserve would be and for how many months with the fee increase?
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Winters, yes, we did. The ending balance is 3 months.
Thank you.
Senator Hannah.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, I'm going to be voting no on this fee increase. This is a group that is sorely divided right down the middle between one practice group versus another practice group. The current majority of the board is looked upon with somewhat disdain by those on the other side of the practice as it relates to chiropractic medicine. Their concern is not only with the difference in the manner in which practice of chiropractic medicine is performed, but they're concerned about there's a great deal of travel out of state by the chiropractic board, and substantial meetings are being held, perhaps an inordinate amount of meetings are being held by the board that doesn't reflect the other side of the profession. This is something we're being asked to referee, and I think it's a no-win situation. I think maybe what we should do is, rather than trying to referee this situation, is put a sunset on chiropractic medicine and then say go out in the room and go behind closed doors and beat the heck out of each other. So when you finally come out of there, we'll agree upon whatever form of medicine you want to practice. But right, quite frankly, these groups are split right down the middle, serve no purpose. They serve as antagonistic views against each other. And by the way, they didn't arrive here last week or last month or last year. I've been in this building for going on 27 years, and it's been going on all that time that I've been here. So it's not unique. It's something that's occurring now. It's been going on for a long time. But I think the message needs to be sent to the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, especially their executive director, Mr. McTeague, that's here, and to their board and the profession. Get your act together. But I'm tired of refereeing it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Carno.
Yes, I remember this issue when I was here before, as well as Senator Hannan. It's the first time, though, that I felt like I'd been, rather than to a committee hearing, a mud wrestling match. But I will just share with you that the dressing down both sides of this issue got from Representative Butler and then echoed by Representative Johnson. I certainly haven't forgotten it, and I'm sure that both sides of this issue are going to try to work very hard to resolve this problem.
Sir Yee.
Mr. Co-Chair, we should send this budget to Representative Hughes' committee and give them a dollar to the resolved issues to come back, and then they can have their budget. I think that's going to work.
Mr. Co-Chair.
I saw Senator or Representative Hayden first.
Just to continue the dialogue a little bit, Mr. Chairman, I think I remember in years past that we granted these practitioners for natural healing the privilege of prescribing narcotic codeine, and we thought that that would make everybody happy, but apparently not.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Co-Chair, after that remark, I'm not sure I have anything constructive to add.
Any further discussion?
Still thinking about Representative Hayden's remarks. I'm sure.
Any further discussion? Any questions? I guess the statement should be, question should be, how many no's do we have for moving House Bill 2168 as amended to the House floor with a two-pass recommendation? One. Two. Let the record show. Senator Hannon, Representative Schrader, Representative Winters are noes. Seeing no other nays, House Bill 2168 as amended is moved to the House floor of the Duke House Representatives. Other business. Department of Human Services Health Division, Representative Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're getting some of our big budget items out of the way here today. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends the Joint Committee on Ways and Means approve the submission of a Federal Department of Health and Human Services Centers for Disease Control and Prevention grant application in the amount of $140,000 per year for up to 3 years for traumatic brain injury surveillance. Of deaths from injuries, approximately one-third involve traumatic brain injury, TBI. TBI, a preventable disabling condition in many instances, should be recognized as an important concern of public health. If awarded, the Health Division would use these funds to conduct statewide surveillance of TBI, conduct annual evaluations of the surveillance system to assess the predictive value and validity of the data collected, analyze and interpret the data, and link surveillance activities to findings for injury prevention and control activities. Grant is for $140,000 and requires no matching funds, no matching state funds. The deadline for submission of the grant application is May 2, 2001. If necessary, the Health Division would return with a request to increase the expenditure limitation. I'd also add that the subcommittee discussed that the goal of the grant for Oregon is to enable the state to deal more effectively with this problem within existing resources, and that the division had responded that no way did they anticipate the need to set up a new board, commission, agency, department, branch of government, et cetera, as a result of this particular study. And your Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of this request.
Thank you, Representative Schrader. Was there any discussion of the Spinal Cord Injury Commission during this grant request?
That might have come up, sir.
Thank you. Any further discussion on approving the grant request for the Department of Human Services? Any questions? Any objections to approving the federal grant application for the Center for Disease Control and Prevention on the Department of Human Services? Seeing none, approved. Department of Human Services, Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division grant request. Representative Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board approve submission of a federal grant totaling $60,000 to help plan for integrated and appropriate community health health services for children and adults. Grant application is also due May 2, 2001, and again, no state matching funds are required. The Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, Center for Mental Health Services, has made grant funds available to help states implement the 1999 United States Supreme Court Olmstead versus LC ruling. The ruling held that continued institutional placement is a form of discrimination under the Americans with Disabilities Act if individuals desire and can be appropriately placed in the community, regardless of how much it costs. The grant is $20,000 per year for a total of 3 years. In Oregon, the statewide group will help identify and plan for community-based services needed to support children and adults now in state hospitals. The Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division will use existing staff to coordinate and gather data to help guide the planning process. The grant funds will pay for meeting space and materials and individual or family expenses such as mileage or child care needed to allow consumers to participate in the planning process. Subcommittee members supported getting the input of a variety of citizens in the planning process. Members also stated that the plan should focus on doing the best job possible with limited resources and on better coordination of services, not on developing costly new programs. And the department also testified that at this point they feel they are meeting the intent of the Olmstead ruling and we're not necessarily in danger of more litigation, provided that they were able to keep going with this type of planning process and, again, better utilize our existing resources. Your subcommittee recommends approval of the application.
Thank you, Representative. Any objections to approving the grant application to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from the Department of Human Services Mental Health and Disability Services Division? Seeing none, so ordered. Any announcements? Any other business coming before the committee?
Have a great weekend.
We are adjourned.